Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Revelation 3, 21 and 22 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Lord is speaking to all of us, asking us to have ears to hear, to take his message to heart, and let his words transform our lives. So join in the conversation as we learn the basic precepts to an overcomer's life. As we talk about being overcomers, Janie, I'm drawn to Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, many times we use that passage of scripture for the salvation message, but this is a continual dining, not just coming in and having a meal. This is in a relationship where you are sitting at the table together, not a one-time visitation, but day after day.
And you know, the facts of that passage have to be taken by faith.
Right.
To dine at his table is going to be a lot better than a trip to the fast food restaurant. But I'm not going to be looking across the table at him today. I'm going to have to accept this promise that's available, but how am I going to appropriate it today?
Right.
By faith. And so we can look in the scriptures and see who he is and recognize that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And this has a timeline principle on it, in the fact that we've got to trust him day by day, and we've got to release all of our expectations, whether it's requests we've made to him, mm-hmm. whether it's needs we've got, whether it's some kind of deliverance we need for our family, whether it's promises and hopes that we want to see happen. We have to be grounded in the person of Jesus Christ, according to what he says is his eternal fulfillment. And that eternal fulfillment, Sharon, takes us into the mystery of having to learn how to operate by faith outside of time and space.
Well, that's where I see that our faith grows, at the table.
Mm.
So that's why I say that sitting at the table, dining and feasting and spending time with him is how our faith grows.
So basically what you're saying is that we dine with him right now as we feast on his word.
Absolutely. That's how we learn to trust in him with all of these expectations, our requests, our needs, our deliverances, the promises, the hope. We have all of that by faith because we have sat at the table and dined with him.
And one of the prophets said, "I ate your word and it was so sweet to me."
Yes.
And we know that that can have an emotional quieting in us when we're anxious or angry.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go to the Word and say, look at Psalms 34:4. "I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. And it holds me accounting to eat the basics before I have the dessert."
Yes.
Of seeing the fulfillment of all the good things he's prepared for us. That's more than what our mortal minds can understand.
Absolutely. We have to know our identity, who we are in Christ.
Sharon, I'm glad you brought that point out, because the position of who we are in Christ is unchangeable.
Right.
You can't change it. It's forever right. and ever. Once you're in the family, you can't unfamily, or you can't unfriend him like we were on a social media site.
Our condition the things that we go through, the trials and situations, don't change our position in Christ.
Can you say that again? That is essential that we get that down in our thinking.
No matter what we go through, no matter what situation or circumstances or trial we face, it does not change our position in Christ.
Okay, so basically then, as we have our condition that can be changeable depending on how we choose to walk, we can grow experimentally in what we already are positionally.
That's hard to wrap our minds around too, Janie. But if we could just think that, you know, once you're in a family, you're in a family. You don't just get ripped out of the family because you are going through something.
But you know, in that family, we have to see one another reflect what is the life and the character of what a family should be. In other words, we can't be mucking around with bad attitudes in a family relationship. We are born to have fellowship in our family relationships, which includes our home here on earth, not to mention our eternal family that we are living with now that will go on forever and ever.
Right.
Proverbs 23:7, Sharon says, "For as a person thinks in his heart, so is he." And our position needs to become more solidified in knowing who God is, and that will then cause our hearts to want to reflect what his heart does in our daily condition.
So a lot of times what we think is more about where we are in our condition in our lives rather than our position.
And that's one way when we summarize some of our discussions, we say, if we are responding to our thinking, then we will react. And most of the time we'll be impulsive and we'll lash out, or we're thinking, how come you're treating me this way? Or I don't want to do what you say because I've got something else I want to do. And so the Lord then says, wait a minute, family, guard your heart. Recognize how you should be responding rather than reacting, because your heart is the seat of where all of your actions and attitudes begin. It begins in our inner being.
Okay, I have a question here then.
Okay.
So let's say that in the situation, I react rather than respond. How does that transcend or affect my continual condition?
I'll tell you what I'm saying. Yes, I do. And the first thing that it will affect is your conscience.
Oh, okay.
Your conscience will say, that wasn't right. But you don't like what your conscience says. So you just kind of turn your conscience off and go ahead and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you wound your conscience, but you grieve the Holy Spirit, who chooses to always work through your conscience as like a siren, a warning signal.
So if we wound our conscience, does our conscience become debilitated? Does it become crippled?
Conscience is a pretty strong force that the Lord has given us, and if we can choose to make our own choices reactive, in time, that voice of the Spirit will become quieter and quieter because we're rejecting it.
Right. So it changes the response and the chemicals in our being.
And unfortunately, it allows us to continue in our variable condition of our daily walk to the negative.
So we become blinded to the things that are holy and right because we more see what we want, our own selfishness, as right.
Sharon, you are exactly right on perceiving the danger that we can fall into if we do not guard our hearts.
Right.
And one of the places where we lose control over guarding our hearts is being able to distinguish when it's really the Spirit talking to us, or whether we have slipped from hearing the sensitivity of our conscience and our soul has slipped in to override our spirit.
I have heard people say that. I don't know if this is me or if that's the Lord. I mean, I just don't know who's talking to me.
And that I have heard so many times. And the result is always, Sharon, confusion, sadness, distrust, doubt.
Right.
So we need to make a declarative statement, and that is that the overcomer must be in the Word daily. There's no excuse for just picking it up on Sunday morning or having a 15-minute devotional. That would be like having pablum when you've got a steak with all the trimmings waiting for you.
Right.
And you need the nourishment of the protein in the meal rather than just a baby pablum. So we need to recognize that as an overcomer and standing in the truth of our position, you do get your position instantly. When you accept Jesus Christ, that's an instant transaction.
Okay.
The condition that is variable goes on the rest of our lives. And sometimes when we know that we are a Christian and that we have benefits that the Lord has given us throughout three quarters of the New Testament, we get really relaxed and confident.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to apply them.
Well, we get relaxed and confident, sometimes to our own detriment, because we don't really live in the victory that the Lord's called us to.
And we don't live in that victory because, Sharon, that requires discipline. You know, we talk about victory as though we just say the word and it happens. Well, victory is the result of a battle. What are you victorious over?
Yes.
All right. So that is recognizing how the soul can substitute for the real thing.
But you know, Janie, the culture that we live in today has really conditioned us, if we want to talk about conditioning. You know, you go to work for 8 hours and then you come home and relax and veg out. And it's really conditioned us to our thinking. And so we have these categories that we want to put our mind into, and we veg out our brains and we're not active in the battle.
Well, Sharon, don't we all like routines? We all like things that are routine because we find comfort in routines. So it's much easier to entertain a routine of laziness than it is to have a routine of constant discipline.
Well, and you think about the routine, you go to work and that requires effort. It requires thinking. It whatever your job may be, it may require physical labor. But there comes a time that you want to set that aside and just relax and not think and not deal and not. And so there's these categories of times that we do these things. And to be an overcomer, you're telling me that I've got to be actively engaged at all times. And that's a battle.
Because by the time we take care of the immediate, which is going to work, getting ready and do our things, we come home, we have our other temporal duties that are responsible duties that the Lord has provided for us to do, and then we're exhausted. We're brain dead, or we have brain fog. And I do believe, this is just an opinion, that so many people who think they may be battling brain damage from the viruses that we've had are really battling brain fatigue because of us being forced to look at our circumstances rather than to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And yet he has said that as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of flesh, and not of the will of man, but of God. And when we choose to take that thinking that we are born by the will of God for his purpose, then we can discipline our minds to always have him at the forefront while we are going through the dailies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. And you know, Janie, as a child of God, he is our father, and he desires to have that fellowship with us. And so when we come together in fellowship, there is a growth that takes place in that personal fellowship with him.
That statement, Sharon, is almost more than what my heart can wrap around. When you look at his creation, the science that is known, and as scientists and other men of renown are finding universes through our telescopes that we never knew existed before, can you wrap your mind around the creator of all of that, desiring and yearning for your love and your companionship and fellowship with his heart?
No, I can't. But as I grow in him, as I spend time with him in the intimacy of the fellowship, at the table in that relationship, then I can more accept the fact that he wants to spend time with me because I know him. My faith has grown.
Well, you know, Sharon, the basis of your faith has really been something that the Lord has made real in your life for you to even be willing to walk with him in faith. Something he's shown you about himself, some way that he has sustained you when you were ready to give up, something that he has revealed his mind to your mind in intimate communion as you're in his word, something that he has made real to you personally, is really the basis for your willing to walk by faith. Now, he says that he has given a measure of faith to every person, but you know, that has to be activated. Mm. Because you possess it does not mean you're exercising it.
Okay.
And so over your life, you can probably reflect on something where he has sustained you or a relationship in a way that you knew was impossible if he had not made himself real with you. And so that causes you now to desire to just be in his presence, feasting at his table. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a little tidbit of encouragement out of Proverbs, or whether it's something profound out of Revelations on what he has prepared for you, that's more than what you can comprehend.
So the basis of our abilities to be an overcomer or to live an overcomer's life has to do with growing in faith, growing in our relationship with him, which builds our faith, right?
Yes, and now let's get some grounding from Hebrews 11 on that very point.
Okay.
In Hebrews 11, verse 39, he talks about the examples of faith that we have seen all throughout the Old Testament, whether it was Sarah, whether it was Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. They all had experiences that we can look at and say that they learned through their trials and their errors. But they did not receive the promise of their faith, which could really be unnerving since we are commanded to walk by faith.
Right.
But verse 40 gives us a new perspective on faith. And it says, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Wow.
Okay.
That tells us that they got a good report by looking forward and being willing to live with faith past the time of their walking here on earth. They saw something better that had to be fulfilled in something future, because it says that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So their walk by faith is contingent on how their faith keeps looking to the future and the eternal, and they don't really understand all the perplexities of that, but their faith still trusts in the unknowns.
And see, we have the same situation that we have to walk by faith to look to the future of the unknowns and trust God in all of them.
We don't know how the consummation of their faith being dependent on our faith and our faith looking to still the unknowns that face us, how that is going to bring together what God wants. So I guess maybe to coin a phrase, Sharon, is we need to have an afterlife faith. In other words, we are not going to look for everything that we've asked for to be fulfilled while we're still walking here on earth. Put that into practicality of our condition.
Okay. And that's the trap we fall into, is that we expect our prayers to be answered right now in our timeline, that we have set an expectation of timeline for God to answer that prayer.
And very simply, God is eternal, and He is not bound by our timeline that He's chose us to walk in.
And really, Janie, that requires us to start thinking eternally rather than temporally, and realizing that for all of eternity, that begins now, not at the end of our life. It begins now.
And Sharon, that's why we don't give up our hope when we don't see the unseen. And that is the whole nature of why we're talking about faith today. So if I have a loved one that is not responding to the call of Jesus Christ, then I labor in what He has told me to do with prayer and supplication, and I don't put a timeline of expectation on seeing results.
Yeah, oh Lord, I want to see that before I die, kind of thing.
That's right. I may be in heaven when the Lord chose to answer the prayer. And I remember one personal story of a saint that has gone home, and it was at that saint's funeral that the people that he had prayed for his entire life came to Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
It was because out of death came life.
Right.
So out of this gentleman's death, his prayer was answered. His walk of faith for decades with these people were answered at his funeral.
Wow.
And so we have to realize that we need to think eternally in everything. And when we don't, then we really create our own struggles. And Sharon, we can live under a terrible paralysis. We can be petrified through confusion. We can have perplexities outnumbered, inability to understand what's going on. And so therefore we feel, don't like that word, but we feel helpless and hopeless in our walk of faith to be an overcomer. Or, here's the good part. We can take our bewildering confusion and we can say, Lord, we are so going to trust you by faith that even our own mistakes and failures are really what you can use to set us free to be effectual overcomers.
So to live an overcomer's life, the first and most important part is to know our position in Christ, who we are, our identity, and not let our condition, the situations and circumstances that we go through, convince us that our position has changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, but that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.